I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Hunter Biden, we do not see the curiosity in your party about the questions surrounding President Biden that we do the questions surrounding President Trump. Do you have concerns about the payments to his family, and do you believe you need to show people you're doing it fairly?
I am totally for law enforcement, including the Trump-appointed U.S. attorney for Delaware, who's in charge of that case, David Weiss, proceeding with that case and pursuing it. And we leave it to the justice system. We're not attacking the prosecutors. We're not attacking the judges. Joe Biden isn't out there saying, how dare you prosecute the son of a former president?
Wow. I hope you heard all of that. What you just heard, stop the world. Stop the world. You were hearing Chris Cuomo, who used to be a CNN, until they finally dumped him. And now he's with News Nation, acting like a journalist, asking a legitimate question of Jamie Raskin, Democrat congressman, raising the question that, you know, you seem to be doing a lot of things against Trump, but are you really questioning Biden? And Raskin's response was immediate. Well, we're not attacking the judges, the court, the venue. We're not done with that issue. So start the world back up again. Glad to have you on board with us. Here we are, August 8th. And this is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA on News Talk STL for you. And I remind you that while the program is airing, a stream is going out from the studio on News Talk FB, Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. But here was Chris Cuomo. Now that he has his new job, he's trying to show I can ask legitimate, tough, ethical type questions. And I've got Congressman Raskin right in front of me, and I'm going to dig into him, and I want to get some good answers for you. Here we go again.
Do you think that Democrats should be calling for the president to address the questions, especially in a campaign year when they're going to be weaponized against him? If only the one about all the payments to different members of the family and how he explains that. I mean, that's the big question mark, I think, that is going to be developed in the election. Should you be calling on him to do it as a point of leadership?
Hunter Biden was obviously trying to exploit his family name in the thick of his drug addiction to get business deals and to collect as much money as possible. That's obvious to any fair-minded observer, but that doesn't touch Joe Biden, and they have not laid a glove on President Biden.
No, they haven't laid a glove on President Biden. Let me put it this way. If the investigation we've seen so far and the details have come out so far, in public in the House Oversight Committee, the bank records so far, the whistleblowers so far, if that's not laying a glove, if they try to get any closer to Biden at this point, he might turn around and charge them with molesting them. You're getting into my personal space. You're touching my body parts. They're all over Biden. The Democrats, though, continue to shield it, look away, and say, really, still nothing here to see. Well, there's another shoe about to drop. Here's one of them. In fact, there are more than one shoe, numerous. An FBI agent, Charles McGonigal, who investigated Donald Trump for colluding with Russia. Are you ready for this? One of the same agents from the FBI who's investigating Donald Trump for, quote, colluding with Russia, is set to plead guilty for, don't hit the brakes, for colluding with Russia. This agent's ready to plead, I was colluding with Russia. Again, McGonigal was a key figure in the Trump-Russian hoax investigation. He's now been accused of illegally working for a Russian oligarch. The ex-FBI agent was indicted back in January for money laundering and violating U.S. sanctions by working on behalf of a Russian billionaire. Also to try to get this guy off the U.S. sanctions list. Now, how will that tie to the current investigation of Biden? No one can say for sure at this point, but this is one of the guys that supposedly was behind the scenes pulling various pieces around, trying to show there's a lot to see here about Russian collusion and Donald Trump. If anyone would know about Russian collusion, it would be this FBI agent. And then we have another guy that surfaced now, Swearingen. This is a guy that made numerous visits to the White House and to the president's residence while he was vice president, the Naval Observatory. He was often in numerous dinners with Biden, both of them, Hunter and Joe. He also was constantly looking for ways to help them out. They basically now are saying this guy was handling the money for both of them. He was the one that was taking money and moving it into different locations. That's the allegation at this point. But I don't think it's necessarily just an allegation, but that it's a fact that he was in charge of various finances for both of them. That at one point he sent an email or text to Hunter Biden, say, we need to pay your dad's cell phone. This is the burner phone we talked about yesterday, that Joe Biden had an extra phone that he kept with him. And whenever it would ring, it would either be from Hunter Biden or a business associate. They just, again, we're going to talk about the weather. No big deal. Don't get excited about it. No, we're excited about it. And then on the other side of that, he told him, you need to pay this. And in fact, what I'm going to do is just automatically deduct it from the money you have already in your account. I just want to let you know in advance. And we need to move some other money over to your dad's account. And I can't really reach out to him right now and get it. And if it's okay with you, I'm going to do it. If I don't hear from you, I'm going to go ahead and move it. And he did. This is a guy that still needs to come before Congress and under oath explain exactly what were you doing to facilitate any business between Hunter Biden, his associates, and how deeply involved was Joe Biden? What monies were you transferring back and forth from what sources? And were you the guy who was in charge of also dispersing any of the monies that came in to the various Biden family members? Somebody had to, and it appears that this is the guy. He has not yet been before Congress to testify. But if you're going to look for a full understanding, you're going to have this guy. But again, now on the other side, despite the remarks from Raskin about they have not laid a glove on President Trump. Not so fast, Raskin. Here comes Georgia Congressman Andrew Clyde.
We have seen incredible criminal activity, evidence of it time and time again. FBI FD 1023, that form that came out, Devin Archer's testimony that said President Joe Biden as vice president was involved in Hunter Biden's business dealings, at least 20 phone calls worth. And then, you know, the FD 1023 goes back and says that there's recordings of Joe Biden with the president of Burisma Gas Company, the Ukraine. Ukrainian company. He's got at least two recordings there, 15 with Hunter. And then you're seeing just more evidence and more evidence coming out, real hard, concrete evidence. So, yes, an impeachment inquiry is on the table. I think that's very important that we go there and that the country see that this is a corrupt presidency. This is a corrupt administration all the way to the very top.
And in between guys like Swearingen that we need to have under oath as to what they know. And then against all of this backdrop, let me share something with you from MSNBC host Joe Scarborough. President Trump made a remark the other day that we're going to fight like hell. And said, if you come after me, I'm coming after you. And Scarborough took that last statement to look to make this kind of statement. I'm going to read it. I can let you hear Scarborough say it, but I'd rather tell you. Scarborough says, and I'm quoting, Trump has gone full mobster here. And yet no criticism from Republicans in the House, Republicans in the Senate, very little from Republicans on the campaign trail. Let me say it again. He has threatened a federal prosecutor. All it seems the Republicans know is to fall meekly in line with him. That's pretty much what the Democrats have been doing behind Biden and woke culture and everything else from the progressives. But Chuck Scarborough saying because Trump said, if you come after me, I'm coming after you. He says that's a threat. The man doesn't really know what a threat is. And Joe Concha, a contributor to Fox News, says, let's put all of this in a perspective.
Joe Biden in person with Hunter Biden's business dealings and business partners, I should say. And no, they weren't just there to discuss meteorology, right? Sun, clouds, dew point. That doesn't even get you to the ordering stage of any dinner. So obviously, there's not just smoke here. There's a Canadian-sized wildfire here as far as evidence that the president of the United States, while vice president, profited from his son's business dealings to the tune of millions of dollars, because how else does he afford a multi-million dollar home on the beach in Rehoboth, Delaware, on a vice president's and senator's salary? How does he afford another multi-million dollar home in Wilmington? And Democrats look profoundly foolish when they say, well, there's just no evidence here. This is just about Hunter Biden, not Joe Biden. Well, we have phone calls, we have emails, and we have dinners proving otherwise, that Joe Biden sat in on these meetings. And if that's the case, you now have a president that could be compromised by the likes of China, Ukraine, Romania. You could go down the list in terms of where he is compromised, but obviously most important, Julie, is China. And if that's the case, then this makes Watergate look like a smash and grab.
A smash and grab. That's a good analogy. I like that. Later in this hour, John LeBoutier is going to join us. John LeBoutier is a never-Trumper. He really heats up the room when he comes on the air. I know many of you hate that I have him on, but I want you to hear what he has to say regarding Trump and the current situation. But first to the issues that affect your life every day, how much things cost you and your family. And President Biden is bragging you are better off since he got into office.
Since Joe Biden was elected president and inaugurated, we're probably looking at 20 to 30% price increases on what counts. And that's staple foods, power, electricity, gasoline, price of cars. And then if you're taking a mortgage out now, it's almost 7% on a 30-year. That's $1,000 a month on many mortgages here in California. And that's despite borrowing another $4.5 trillion. So he can talk all he wants about Biden economics, but he only talks that way because these people around him have never gone into a Home Depot or gone into a grocery store and tried to buy staple foods, the stuff you really need.
Yeah, and they're definitely not going to go to Walmart because they've already heard from previously FBI agent Smurf. I could smell the deplorables in the Walmart. Remember that from Hillary's campaign? They have no concept of reality. They don't really have to go buy the stuff, and they're living off the teat of your federal tax dollar for the most part. They get lavish meals. They get expense accounts. They get money for their vehicles. I mean, they get all of this stuff. You're not getting your share? Well, my friend, with all due respect, you're a fool. You're not in politics. Now, not every politician is like that, but this current administration is showing they are. President Biden this afternoon at the Grand Canyon National Park, talking about how great his Inflation Reduction Act is. Of course, I call it the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act. And, of course, finding a way to, at the Grand Canyon National Park, to kind of roll into climate change. See, they want to continue to take away your gas car, your gas stove, your gas water heater, make you pay for all of that, your incandescent normal bulbs. They're going to take those away. You're going to have to pay more for LED. Now, they're going to tell you it will last longer. Well, you know, it's kind of like, I'd like to have that house over there, but I don't have the money for that house yet. But in time, hopefully, I will. And, of course, if you get put out of a job because of their push for climate change, so be it. And yet, Biden's still running around bragging, and you were listening a moment ago to Victor Hansen for the Hoover Institute. Why does Biden continue to brag?
He's restricting the supply of goods on political or ideological grounds, and then he's deliberately made war on the energy industry, and now gasoline and oil and natural gas, it's all going back up again, as we'd expect. So I don't know why he's bragging on it, other than being he's in an echo chamber among sycophants that tell him how well he's doing, but he's not. He gets out and talks to the American people, they would give him an earful.
And you know when you should give him the earful, if he's still around for the election of 2024? You make sure you go out and vote. If the New York Times latest survey is to be believed, Biden and Trump are tied at 43-43. You don't like Biden? Okay. You don't like Trump? All right. There are a lot of them in that category. A lot of them don't like any of the candidates running on either side, and that does not negate folks like Vivek Ramaswamy. I think he's doing a great job. I think he would be excellent somewhere on the ticket or in the cabinet. Nikki Haley. And we got others, and some you have to ask, why are you even here? Asa Hutchinson, for one. But you can give Biden an earful of what you think coming up in 2024 if he is in, actually ends up running. All right, before the end of this hour, is the government still covering up UFO information? Plus, women and children are cursed and spit on. I'll explain that to you. And in the next hour, how China is showing that our military is weak and getting weaker. And why would that be? Who do we have in the White House? That's where it starts. He is the commander-in-chief of pronouns. That and other actions are destroying our military. And the most recent display of China and Russia together, that should be taken as a direct warning. But up next, John LeBoutier, never Trumper. And when John comes on, it's getting hot in here. Lock and load, ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington. A crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. 888-444-9930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Let me give you a quick note here. The Messenger is a publication online primarily, billed as unbiased, but offers opinions from various sides, opinions being published. And the opinion piece we want to deal with was written by John LaBoutière, often guest on here, former U.S. Congressman, a Reaganite, a never-Trumper, and also wrote the book, Hobbit Hates America. John, as always, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Larry. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Well, I looked at this piece you wrote, the most important date of the 2024 presidential campaign. What is that date?
It's going to be the date of Donald Trump's D.C. trial. And we will learn 3 weeks from yesterday, the 28th of August, what the judge has picked for that trial, when it'll be. Until then, we don't know. But when it happens, you know, let's just say, for the sake of saying, it's March 15th. That, to me, is the key to the whole next year. Everybody's going to be aiming to get ready for that day, because that's going to determine so much about the campaign of 2024. The Democrats don't have to do a thing. They just sit off to the side, let Trump deal with his legal issue. It's Trump and the Republicans that really have a problem, because Trump's going to be the nominee. As I don't have any doubt about it. And
I'm so sorry. Okay. Would you say that again? I want that on record. I want to make sure we record it.
Trump is going to be the Republican nominee for president in 2024. Barring some really unforeseen something, I don't see how he doesn't win that.
You're going to be happy then.
Who's going to be happy?
You're going to be happy?
I'm not giving my opinion about what I like or don't like. Okay. I'm just analyzing what I think is going to happen. And I don't think anybody, including the guys running against Trump, they don't think they're going to beat Trump. How could you be Nikki Haley at 3% and think you're going to be the nominee? She's running for the vice presidential nod with Trump. And
it's like every radio talk show against this station and this program. They're all trying to be number two. That's fine. I'll be number one.
There you go. Exactly. They've given up on being number one, so they're racing to be number two.
All right, so the date you're talking about on this trial, this involves the Mar-a-Lago files, correct?
No. January 6th election one.
Now, that's the most recent case filed. And the first case, that the first one cited, actually does carry the death penalty if someone dies in the commission of it. I don't think you're going to see that enacted. But you put those together with, if he's convicted on the Mar-a-Lago case, you're looking at run concurrently almost 600 years. You think that's possible?
No, I don't think any. I think the issue of whether Donald Trump, first you got to get him into a trial, and you got to get him convicted, and then you get him sentenced. So we got a long way to go for any of that. And as you know, the last time you nicely had me on, I was on talking about this universal plea agreement idea,
right,
which would keep Trump out of jail even if he pled guilty and made a plea deal. Because the idea of putting a former president behind bars is going to really be hard for the country. It's going to be physically hard to do because he has a Secret Service detail.
Yeah, they got to go. They got to go through him with the lunch line and everything, and sleep in the bunk above.
Or do they put him? I mean, I've heard all sorts of ideas. Yeah, right. They would take a house on a prison ground somewhere, and put Trump in there, and his Secret Service guys guard it, and he's locked up, in a sense, on a campus environment, but he's not free. He's not going off to play golf every day.
Well, in addition to your plea offer that you suggested, we didn't have a chance to get into it the other day, but let's say he is convicted. You don't think whichever candidate ends up winning the presidential election, if he's out because of that, would issue a pardon as Ford did to Nixon?
Well, okay, that's, you know, I lived through that. You lived through that. And, you know, I mean, as Ford said about it, I did it to heal the country.
Right.
I don't know that pardoning Donald Trump would heal the country. If a Democratic president did it, Joe Biden did it, the Democratic base would hate Biden forever for pardoning Trump. And the Republican half of the country wouldn't help Biden with them at all if he pardoned Trump.
Would you help me understand?
But I'm not into pardons. The pardon is not where I'm at. I'm talking about first this thing today. Is, you know, when the trial comes, it's going to dominate like nothing we've ever been through. We remember the OJ case.
Sure,
everybody listening remembers that.
Sure.
Which was on TV. So that, and I don't know that this one will be, but.
And
having
so
it
Watergate,
on all day.
Yeah. Everybody be glued to it. I agree.
The Watergate hearings were on TV and were hugely watched. Sam Ervin, you're right. And this thing they may change the rules and put this thing on TV. I think the public wants to see it and should see it. But
do you say the same about Biden if they nail him on all these and they start linking him to this?
Because he can't be put on trial. If a sitting president cannot be put on trial, he can be impeached, and that is on TV.
Okay, all right. Now, the other thing is...
But none of that's going to happen to Biden because he didn't break any law. So, There's no charge that he broke the law.
Yeah,
no,
but I just don't want to buy into he broke no law. I agree there are no charges. And I don't say Trump is innocent of everything, but you're right where we stand. And the prosecutor the other day, I think he had to do it just short of throwing up, saying, remember, he's innocent until proven guilty in the court of law.
But we got to do this. Already he has been judged, Trump has, by 23 of his fellow citizens as likely to have broken the law. That's what a grand jury does. Now, doesn't mean he's guilty.
Nope.
But it doesn't mean he didn't do anything. It means they found some evidence that indicates he may have broken the law and it warrants a criminal trial. So it's not nothing. When you get indicted, it's something. None of us, none of your listeners, not you or me, we wouldn't sleep well if we were under federal criminal indictment.
No, I wouldn't. I agree. Now, you mentioned this date. Do you think that you're actually going to have a resolution of this case before the election?
I do. I think that's why I tried to write about that. The trial will be the dominant news item of the campaign. And everything will ride on that trial and how Trump comes out of it. As I said, he is the nominee. So I don't see the trial changing that. Number two, if he is convicted, 45% of Republicans in a poll last week said they wouldn't vote for Trump if he's convicted, and 20% more said they weren't sure. So, you know, we're looking at half the Republicans bailing out on Trump.
Well, let me ask.
He can't win a general election. If you lose 10% of your party, you're going to lose the general election. You lose half, it's a catastrophe.
Let me ask this about these charges. Again, this filed by Special Counsel Jack Smith, the four recent charges. And, of course, we're waiting on charges any day coming out of Georgia, which will also add to just piling on. I think it's going to fuel more. A lot of people that don't even like Trump are saying, how can you continue to do this and do this if you're just trying to destroy a political candidate? That aside, everything we heard from January 6th, day one, and it was wrong, is unpatriotic, should not have happened. But everything I've heard from the Democrats and the Republicans who lined up with it, that it was an attempt to overthrow our government and treason. And I don't see any charges, even from the special counsel, that say anything about treason and overthrowing the government.
Well, he didn't say treason, you're right, or insurrection, but he did.
But they were accusing him, weren't they? They did it every day.
Well, not they, being political people.
Yeah,
but,
right, exactly
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Well, of course, but that's political stuff. But this is legal stuff. This right. is, you got to say what the law is. And Jack Smith went conservative. He only, and it's what he should do. You only charge something with what you can prove. You can't prove it, you shouldn't charge it.
Well, and then how do you get into his mind if Trump believes, I did not lose the election, it was stolen? You can't deny that. That's his thoughts.
Well, I don't think those were his thoughts. Donald Trump knew.
How would you say you don't think those were his thoughts?
I'll tell you why. Because in the Iowa caucus in 2016, Ted Cruz beat Trump. What did Trump say the next morning? Cruz cheated.
Yep.
Then right. he beats Hillary in November 2016 in the electoral vote, loses the popular vote by 2.5 million, and Trump says they cheated on the popular vote. I actually won the popular vote too. So are we seeing a pattern here? Every time Trump loses, he just says the other side cheated. I actually won.
And so did Hillary.
No.
Yeah,
Hillary did not say he's
an illegitimate president. She said it, and Chuck Schumer said it, and numerous members of Democrat Congress said he's illegitimate.
I don't know what they said. Look, I hate Hillary, but the morning after the election, she conceded the election. She didn't come out and say, oh, wait a sec. I won and Trump cheated.
No, you're right.
He conceded.
No, you're right.
And this guy, 3 years later, still hasn't conceded.
And two weeks ago, in an interview.
It's like dragging teeth out of DeSantis yesterday to get him to admit that Trump lost.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
come on. You're right about those points. John, you know, you're always an engaging guest. That's why I enjoy it. And
thank you, Larry.
And every time you're on, I want to let you know, I hear from listeners say, why do you have him on? I said, first, I like him, and secondly, it's good radio, and you're always engaging. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Larry. Talk to you soon.
We will do it again. John Labutiere, former New York congressman, Republican, does not like Trump, hates Hillary, and is pretty convinced where the election is going to go. And he said Trump will win in the primary. Coming up, do we have a UFO scandal getting bigger and bigger? Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis. A place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not bankers' hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Got a black magic woman. Got a black magic woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So this next topic I'm going to touch on is going to be very touchy for some folks. When Russia invaded Crimea, there was a lot of gnashing of teeth that the Obama administration doing nothing really to help Ukraine, except send some blankets and tents. Then that was over. Trump was in office. Russia ceased to be aggressive around Ukraine. Biden comes in, and Russia sees an opportunity that same playbook that Obama had, Biden will probably follow. And so they start a full assault on the entire nation. And a lot of Americans, and I'd be one of them, concerned about Ukrainians and what they were going through. We told you how you could link up with some trusted sources to get food, items to the people, what they really needed. And it was very generally decided among members of Congress, we need to support them. This is Russian aggression. And a lot of Americans, for the most part, and I would include myself, say, yeah, let's send some things in. I don't want boots on the ground. They're not a NATO country, so we're not obliged to it, but let's do something to help. And that meant, of course, involving weapons and whatever else we could provide short of boots on the ground. And then the Biden administration started looking at just throwing money and money and money and more money. And that's where a lot of Americans, and this includes me as well again here, is saying, this is going way too far. Well, stand back. You don't know how big this one's going to get. A report released today said that when Congress returned from the home recess that they've got underway now, Joe Biden is going to ask Congress for more money for Ukraine. Another $10 billion. The actual request, according to one source, it would be, quote, north of $10 billion. As Ukraine continues its counteroffensive against Russia, with America, NATO countries pledging some kind of support for Ukraine. But the Army's acquisition chief told reporters late yesterday the Department of Defense is working on a funding package used to replenish American weapons stockpiles, which have been depleted, and to providing munitions to Ukraine. In other words, he's talking about money for our defense, for our country. We have, at this point, provided more than $110 billion in aid to Ukraine. And voters on both sides of the aisle are getting a little disgusted and sour. It's all about good helping someone that's in need, but out of $110 billion, and now you want another $10 billion? How far would even half of that go to help U.S. citizens and poor communities and deprived areas? Well, of course, if you listen to the Democrats, oh, we're going to do that too. We're going to do that too. Well, how are you going to do that and do this and that and that and that, this giveaway and that giveaway, and pay for it? Oh, you know, we're not going to worry about paying for it. Yeah. I'm going to go out today and buy the fastest Ferrari I can find, but I don't plan on paying for it. Grand Theft Auto. Oh, but they'd catch me. I don't care how fast it runs. But this is getting way out of control. All right, so that's a precursor of what you can expect to see happen when Congress comes back. I want to share something with you that was written by an opinion contributor for The Hill. Now, this author, I'll give you his background first quickly, served as an analyst with the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of International Security, also an Obama administration appointee of the U.S. Department of Defense. Name is Mark von Rennenkampf. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Here's the way he writes on his opinion piece. The decades-long saga of unidentified flying objects is barreling headward toward one of two stunning conclusions. Either the U.S. government has mounted an extraordinary decades-long cover-up of UFO retrieval and reverse engineering activities, or elements of the defense and intelligence establishment are engaging in a staggeringly brazen psychological disinformation campaign. So we have one or two. He says all of this is part of a monumental UFO scandal that is coming. He said either possibility would have profound implications for democracy, the role of government, and perhaps also humanity's place in the cosmos. And he adds, for those reasons, it's imperative Congress and federal law enforcement agencies devote significant resources to investigating a series of remarkable UFO-related developments. And, of course, he talks about that just last month, or actually back in June, and again last month, we had various intel officers, one of them that testified for Congress last month, U.S. Air Force veteran, former intel official David Grush, claiming that elements of the U.S. government have secretly and illegally overseen a decades-long UFO retrieval reverse engineering effort. Two other defense officials backed up his remarks. But when he was being asked directly while he was testifying, he told South Carolina Congressman Mace, "I'll be glad to answer that question, but it will have to be in a skiff." A skiff is a secured compartment where he would sit down and talk and lay out more details. Now, was he grandstanding? Was he trying to make himself look really special that he had information that is that delicate? But you also have Florida Senator Rubio and Congressman Mike Gallagher, Republican of Wisconsin. They have stated that multiple individuals with firsthand knowledge of Grush's allegations have spoken to Congress in one fashion or another. Rubio said, either what Grush is saying is partially true or entirely true, or we have some really smart, educated people with high clearances, very important positions in our government, who are crazy and leading us on a goose chase. Said you had to ask, what incentive would so many people with that kind of qualification, serious people, have to come forward and make something up? And based on Rubio's remarks, again, the opinion author for The Hill said, two extraordinary possibilities are left. Grush is correct, and elements within and outside our government still overseeing a decades-old UFO retrieval and reverse engineering effort. A profound paradigm-shifting development. What do you think? If you recall, I had on the other day my friend and the host of Coast to Coast, George Norrie, and he said, I've talked to Grush before, and I think he knows what he's talking about. Some will buy the story, and some won't. All right, let's return to Earth, the center of Earth, in my opinion, Texas, when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine, fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli.
Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Activists and female athletes, including Riley Gaines, are cursed at. They are spat upon and attacked by far-left protesters as they attend a ceremonial signing of Governor Abbott's Save Women's Sports Act down in Texas. This happened last night. Listen.
That was a clip from Fox News of a very disgusting event. A lot of the audio had to be clipped or censored because of the words they were throwing, shouting at those who had come to the state capitol in Texas for Governor Abbott to officially sign what had already been passed, went into law on June 15th, Senate Bill 15. It's basically protecting women's sports in the state of Texas from transgenders engaging in that sport. You play the sport to which you were born. If you're born male, you're stuck with male sports. You're born female, you must stay in female sports. So Abbott was basically having a ceremonial signing, and he invited in various members that have been involved in seeing that this gets done. And they were going in and out of the Capitol that day, and a lot of women came with their children, often girls, to see what's going on to help girls' sports. One of those who was attending was Independent Women's Network organizer Michelle Williams. Another was Macy Petty, NCAA athlete. They were subjected to what you're going to hear, but I want you to keep in mind there were children. It appeared in some cases to be as young as 7 or 8 with their mothers walking through this line of people yelling, heckling, cursing at them, throwing things at them, spitting on them because they thought we have a right to do so. Let me let you hear directly from, again, Michelle Williams with the Independent Women's Network, followed by Macy Petty, the NCAA athlete currently in competition.
As I was walking down the pathway to kind of see how deep the protesters went, I filmed as they yelled at me, screamed profanities at me, and then as I was walking to re-enter the building, they stood in my way, pushed me, hit me, threw water on me, and then one protester spit into my left eye.
My goodness, is it worth it?
It's always worth it to fight these battles. You have to go deep in the trenches if you're going to get anywhere in this war, and I'm ready for it.
Okay. Macy, what was your experience?
I was there on behalf of Concerned Women for America speaking for current NCAA athletes. So I was with Paula and Riley, and we were kept inside. We were told that it wasn't safe outside because they were completely unhinged, to be honest, as we could see as they were spitting on people. They were calling us sexist, which frankly doesn't make sense because we're the only ones who acknowledge that sex even exists. They call us racist, which didn't make sense, completely unrelated. And they were calling fifth graders and third graders transphobes. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Not only ridiculous, shameful. And Quentin raised a question I know many of you all had, and I have too, but I'm glad he reminded me. Said, you just don't hear trans females entering male competition because they know they'd lose. It's always the guys going into the girls' competition and fully intact genitalia claiming that they're transgender, dressing, undressing with female athletes. And also, Michelle Williams with the Independent Women's Network said, those out in the crowd that were yelling, Abbott is sexist?
I think that that's such a baseless claim. I think that he was celebrating women and women's achievement, fairness in sports, privacy in our spaces. There's a reason that we have sex-based protections. We are equal, but we are not the same, men and women. They claim that we are trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist, yet they get so fervent in their arguments and screaming to let them play. Well, you can't have it both ways. Trans kids, trans athletes are allowed to play. It's just they have to play on the team designated for their birth sex. It's about fairness. It's about privacy. It's about dignity.
It is. Coming up in our next hour, Ohio has a big vote underway on abortion that could affect the nation. And, of course, China, Russia coming together. A lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.